Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio preacher, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast called The Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I can't help but wonder if there might be someone listening in today for the very first time. And you think that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be listening to this program. Listen, friends, God has used His sovereign power to have you tune our way today. Perhaps He knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Yes, perhaps He knows that you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved and born again through faith in the crosswork of God's Son. Well, friend, if this is the first time you've ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say to you today. Now, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times. And you don't realize it, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel of God's grace. If so, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to God's Word. Now, we're going to open up the broadcast today with a lovely hymn, and it's entitled, To God Be the Glory. Thank God today for the great things He hath done in the person of His Son at Calvary's cross. I read in John 19 and verse 30 where the Lord Jesus Christ cried at the end of those hours of suffering, "It is finished." He completed the work that God has given Him to do. And friend, today I rest where God rests in the finished work of Christ. How about you? Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son, for His great work of suffering there at Calvary on our behalf. We thank Thee, our God, for the value and the virtue Thou hast placed upon His shed blood, the blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. We pray Thy blessing, Father, upon every effort being made today to win sinners to Christ. Bless the broadcast today. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, if you care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading three separate portions of the Word of God today, all of them found in the Gospel by Luke. Luke's Gospel, the first, Luke chapter 18. Now, I'm going to do something today I don't usually do, and that is I'm going to read quite a bit of Scripture. But, friend, I make absolutely no apology for that. If I did nothing more today on this radio program than to read the Word of God, I'm quite sure that the Holy Spirit of God would use it to the salvation of souls. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. And He, meaning Jesus Christ, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now for our second scripture, also found in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 23. Chapter 23, and here we have recorded the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for sake of time, we'll read verse 39. This is Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now for our third and final scripture, a well-known portion found in the Gospel by Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. And again the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And the Lord will surely bless the public reading of his word. Now, friends, today I've read to you some most familiar portions of the word of God. But I'd like to direct your attention to the three separate incidents recorded here in the Gospel by Luke. And in each of these references, we read of two men. Two men. In Luke chapter 18, we read of two men who were alive. In Luke chapter 23, we read of two men who were on the edge of eternity. And in Luke chapter 16, we're told of two men who were already in the vast eternity that lies ahead for each and every one of us. Now then, let's take a brief look at each of these incidents recorded by Luke, and let us note the contrasting characteristics and conditions which existed between the two men involved. First of all, in Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about two men who were very much alive, and who were both found in the temple. One was a Pharisee, a highly religious type, and the other was a publican, the grossest of sinners. Well, as you know, the Pharisee stood there in the temple, and he began to remind God of how righteous he was. Yes, he fasted twice a week, he gave tithes of all that he possessed, and he wasn't unjust, or an extortioner, or an adulterer. Oh no, he was a righteous man, at least in his own eyes. But on the other hand, the miserable sinner, the publican, beat upon his breast and cried out from the depths of his repentant heart and soul, God be merciful to me, a sinner. My, what a contrast we have here. One man is boasting of his good, clean, honorable, moral, and righteous living, and the other man just summed up his condition with these words, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, friends, in verse 14 of Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ gives his summation of that contrasting scene in the temple. And here's what he says. I tell you, this man, meaning the sinful publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Friend, as you listen to this broadcast today, of which of the two men are you a type? Do you boast of your church membership, your religious activity, or your charitable virtues? Do you claim to be on your way to heaven because you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, or perhaps trying to do the best you can? Well, friend, if you are, then I don't hesitate to tell you, in love for your soul and according to this Bible, that you are 100% wrong. Yes, you're depending upon what you are doing rather than placing your trust in what Jesus Christ has already done. Listen, friend, if you could do anything to save your own soul, then why did Jesus die? Why did God become flesh and take upon himself the sins of his creature, if that creature could do anything to save his own soul? Ah, no, my friend. The Word of God tells us in Titus 3 and verse 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us. Yes, salvation is all of grace from beginning to end. And if we were to receive our just reward, we'd all be banished from the presence of a loving God for all eternity. Friend, according to Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that's the reason that God sums up his indictment against all mankind in Romans chapter 3 with these words. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And furthermore, it's only when a sinner takes the humble place before God that he is in any condition to be saved. In other words, the sinner must acknowledge that he's not worthy of the least of God's mercies. He must condemn himself in the light of God's word. Yes, the language of his heart should be just like the publican of old. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And friend, if you'll take your rightful place before God in the dust at the foot of the cross, then you're a candidate for salvation, but not until. No, salvation is only for sinners. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul declares, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Again, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Did you hear that? He wants sinners to repent. I think of what we're told in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think, too, of that scene recorded over there in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul was preaching on Mars Hill in the city of Athens in Greece. Here's what we read in verses 30 and 31. Now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Friend, remember this. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now then, let's move along to Luke chapter 23, and there we read of two more men. And these two men were also alive, but they were on the edge of eternity. Yes, these two men were the two thieves, one on each side of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was crucified between them on Calvary's cross. And here again we see two men with opposite characteristics, just like the Pharisee and the publican in chapter 18. Here we read that one of the two thieves who were being put to death acknowledged his guilt. Yes, he says in verse 41, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But what does the other thief say? If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Well, here were two men, both of them about to pass out of time and into eternity, and yet what a contrast in their attitudes. One man admitted that he was receiving the wages for his sin, but the other man never once admitted that he deserved his punishment. Friend, the one thief readily acknowledged the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, but the other ignored this fact as though it were non-existent. Well, friend, a sinner will never be saved till he acknowledges in his heart that Jesus Christ was the sinless Lamb of God, bearing away that sinner's guilt. Yes, the one thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss, and neither he had. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, while here on earth, broke neither the laws of God nor man. He could say of a truth, which of you convinceth me of sin? And again he said, the prince of this world, meaning the devil, hath nothing in me. Friend, throughout the scriptures, the fact is repeatedly brought before us that Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, without spot, without blemish. Yes, he was the just one, dying for you and I the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we're told that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, something else this one repentant thief did that is very important is the fact that he acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ. He declares in verse 42, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Friend, a sinner who is truly saved by sovereign grace must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is his Lord. Yes, time and again in the gospel we read that the sinners who came to Jesus Christ acknowledged him as their Lord. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, the Philippian jailer cried out, what must I do to be saved? And the answer Paul gave him was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Again, we read in Romans 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, I believe there are many people today, and perhaps there are some listening to this broadcast, and they want a fire escape. They don't want to go down to hell. Yes, they want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Now, friends, just as we have these two thieves with divergent characteristics, so likewise we have these two thieves faced with a choice which resulted in contrasting results. To the repentant thief, the Lord Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But to the unrepentant thief, he said not a word. Friends, here we have two men, both of them facing an inevitable death, and yet only one trusted in Jesus Christ, while the other died as he lived, and in all probability, he's down in hell today. You know, some people have the devil-inspired idea that they can get saved on their deathbed. But friend, listen. Listen. Both of these thieves knew that they were dying, yet only one got saved. Friend, you may never have a deathbed. You may be cut down in a moment of time, and off you'd go into eternity, an eternity of separation from God. No, my friend, even if you were privileged to have a so-called deathbed, it isn't likely you'd repent. I've talked to many people shortly before they died, and they are invariably more concerned about their physical condition than they are with their spiritual condition. But that's the way people are. Yes, and if I were to hold a public meeting tonight and announce that it would be for a healing service, the place would be packed. And yet if I were to hold a public meeting tonight and announce that it would be a gospel or evangelistic meeting, I'd have to literally drag the people into the hall. Friend, people are more concerned about their body than they are about their soul. And that's the reason the one thief didn't repent. He wanted to be cut down and released from the cross. He told the Lord Jesus, save thyself and us. Yes, and people are the same today. They're looking for miracles, some kind of an experience. And in doing so, they overlook the greatest miracle of all, the salvation of a soul. Friend, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today, you'll experience the greatest miracle possible. You'll be born again. You'll be saved by grace. Yes, you'll become a child of God, and you'll pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Now let's turn our attention briefly to our last two men. In Luke chapter 18, we saw two men who were full of life. In Luke chapter 23, we saw two men who were on the edge of eternity. And now in Luke chapter 16, we see two men who have passed out of time and are in the vast eternity just ahead for all of us. Yes, here in Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ himself draws for us a verbal picture of two men who died. One was carried by the angels into the realm of eternal bliss, while the other opened up his eyes in hell, and there he was, crying for a drop of water to cool his parched tongue. Friend, if you were to die right now, where would your soul go? Would it be in heaven, or would it be in hell? Well, you know, friend, it has to be in either one of two places. There's no middle ground mentioned in the Word of God. No, there's no such a place as purgatory. There isn't a Bible on the face of the earth that mentions purgatory. Friend, it's either the glories of heaven, or else it's the flames of hell. And the determining factor is your response to the grace of God. God has provided the remedy for sin, and that remedy is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for you to hear the gospel today so that you could accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And now, my friend, the decision is entirely up to you if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and to your soul. You know, back in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, chapter 30 and verse 19, here's what God says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Friend, you can either trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, or else you can go on in your sin and in your rebellion to a loving God, and eventually you'll join the rich man down in hell. Over in John chapter 3 and verse 36 we read, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And in Job 36 and verse 18, God says, Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. So friends, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, I plead with you in love for your soul and in view of eternity, acknowledge your sinnership in God's sight, repent of your sin, and then in simple childlike faith, just accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow again in thy presence at the close of another radio broadcast to thank thee for thy beloved Son. We thank thee for the grace that brought him from heaven to earth to die on the old rugged cross for our sins. And Father, we pray that even now there may be men and women, boys and girls out in radio land trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
friends, I can't help but wonder if there isn't someone out in Radio Land right now and the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to their soul. You know you're not saved. You know you've never been born again into the family of God. You know you're not prepared for death, and neither are you prepared if the Lord Jesus Christ should come today. Friend, would you like to be saved? Well, if you would, please don't put it off. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in John 6:37, he gives the assurance, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." But my friend, the day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. If you're going to be saved, you'll have to be saved soon. I think of what we're told in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again in Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.